Look, it depends on from what angle you're approaching this story. From Penn State, obviously, this is a pleasant greeting between you and I. From a Purdue standpoint, maybe not so much. We really hate the fact we're losing Micah Shrewsbury. That guy's a hell of a coach. You guys are getting a really good one in him. I can promise you that.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about it? I'm going to get to him overall in a moment, but personality-wise, I've always had the impression this was a bridge builder and not a bridge burner.
Yeah, that's very accurate. As a matter of fact, I can't think of one person I've ever heard say an ill word about Micah, to be honest with you. And he's been with us not once but twice. He was on the staff for three or four seasons, and then left to be an assistant with the Boston Celtics, and then came back and has been with us for the last 2 years. And yeah, both stints when he's been at Purdue, I can't think of anyone that's had a negative thing to say about him. And he is a bridge builder. That's an excellent way to put it. I had not thought of it that way, Steve. But, yeah, he's really good at building those relationships. And even with guys like you and I, you're going to find he's a really enjoyable guy to work with from a radio broadcast perspective, just from an overall media perspective. He's probably not as polished as most when it comes to that kind of stuff, only because his head coaching duties over his career have been very slim, mostly at the smaller school level. So, but yeah, I'm a little long-winded here, but you're exactly right. Bridge builder was a very good way to put it.
He's also a relationship guy, very much. I mean, that's how he builds around him, is that he tries to build strong relationships. Would that be fair?
I think that is fair, and certainly from a player perspective, you know how important that is. And it certainly doesn't hurt that he does have that NBA pedigree, having coached at that level. Look, you and I both know that every single high school kid that shows up on your campus thinks he's going to the NBA, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the truth of the matter is most of them are not. But it certainly doesn't hurt when you're giving your recruiting spiel and the high school superstar is thinking about his post-college career, and he thinks he's going to be a professional. And he is a guy in his living room who's coached at that level and has coached at the highest level and coached some of the greatest players that the NBA has seen in the last 10 years. So, yeah, no question about that. Recruiting is a strong point for him from that particular perspective that you're approaching it. Some of our better recruits that Purdue has gotten here in the last handful of years can be directly attributed to Micah Shrewsbury. You may remember we had a young man by the name of Vincent Edwards. Older brother played at Penn State. Bill, I think, was his first name.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so Vince was a really big pickup for us. Came out of Ohio. Ohio State was really on him, as were some other schools in that general area, big-time schools. And he ends up at Purdue because of Micah Shrewsbury and that relationship he built. And Vince went on to be an all-conference player for us. So, yeah, he's really good in that aspect, certainly from a recruiting standpoint as well.
He went with Brad Stevens to Butler. Eventually, now he had two stints at Purdue. I think he was more on the defensive side the first time. Now he's the offensive coordinator. In his time with the Celtics, he obviously is going to pick up NBA concepts, just like Juwan Howard did all those years in Miami and the places that he was at. Do you notice right away those NBA concepts in how Purdue plays now compared to before he got there?
I do, mainly, and of course you mentioned it, in this stint with Purdue, he's been an offensive coordinator. That's been kind of his specialty. And Coach Painter does let him run the offense, which I think is pretty cool that a head coach would give that type of rope to an assistant. But anyway, yes, you'll really notice it, Steve, on the offensive end with a lot of two-man game where they're empty out one side of the floor, and it's really just, literally it's two-on-two against man-to-man defenses. Purdue has had a lot of success the last 2 years, but this year especially, playing a lot of empty side two-man game stuff. And the other thing where he's really excelled, and I didn't know this about him until really paying attention these last 2 years, he's excellent drawing up inbounds plays from baseline inbound plays, under the basket plays. I couldn't tell you how many wide-open looks Purdue has gotten this year on baseline inbounds. And we're talking like wide-open layups right at the rim where you find yourself thinking, how did the defense get so confused that they leave a guy wide open under the basket on a baseline inbounds play for an uncontested layup or dunk? Purdue's had that happen to him numerous times this year. And, again, that's the Micah Shrewsbury just bringing some of those different wrinkles from the NBA that we don't see quite as much at our level that he implements, and they work, obviously. So I think that's where you'll see it the most. Like I said, more two-man game stuff on an empty side on the offensive end. But I think where you're really going to be impressed, Steve, is for the Penn State fans is baseline inbounds, out-of-bounds plays. I don't know how he does it, but he somehow finds a way to get a guy wide open under the basket, it seems like, every game.
It may be NBA concept. And he's talked about, you know, layups, free throws, three-pointers. I mean, we know that. I mean, that's how Alabama plays. Nate Oates plays that way. But he also is a big believer in post-touches. Now, admittedly, it's a little easier when it's Trevion Williams.
Okay. Yeah.
But he is a believer in that. That is a part of what he wants to do. That's why Zach Edey and Trevion Williams have been as effective as they've been, Rob.
Yeah, and that's the Matt Painter influence there, right? That's Coach Painter all the way, as you well know. In the 16 years he's been at Purdue, if there's one consistent, it's that Purdue's always had a really good low post presence. And and not only have they had a really good low post presence, but they have featured that player predominantly in the offense. Literally every time down the floor, the big guy gets a touch. So, yeah, that's you'll see a lot of that too, with a lot of emphasis on throwing the ball into the big guy. But that, I don't know if that's as much Micah influenced as it is Matt Painter influenced. I think that's where Coach Painter will have a big influence on him as a head coach.
Well, Matt Painter should have an influence. That to me, he is the single most underrated coach in this conference. Has been since the time I got here. I don't think he gets in a profession that gets either torn down or pumped up a lot. Matt Painter has never been talked about enough. And anybody,
yeah, part of that,
you know,
and, you know, you're right.
Around him.
I think you're
that's
fair.
That's his personality.
Yep, exactly. I was about to say his personality does not lend him probably doesn't do him any favors in that particular realm of having a lot of attention and hoopla about him just because he's such a down to earth, just a regular old guy that just happens to coach basketball.
Right.
So that yeah, and that's you know, as much Matt as. Has anything, but I would agree. He is in there. Saw a great just to kind of rub it into our big rivals, Indiana University. I saw a great tweet yesterday that Purdue had one coach over the last 16 years, and in that same time frame, Indiana has fired four different coaches. So Purdue had the stability, obviously, with Matt Painter, and it's paid off because they've won an awful lot of games with him coaching.
In fact, Archie Miller never beat Purdue.
That's right. So, winless. Yeah, right.
Winless against him. Also, there's another part, too, on the personal side. And he's a family man. And, you know, I know you've been around his family, four children. It's, you know, it's also part of the personality of Micah Shrewsbury.
Yeah, and, again, that's a lot of Purdue influence, too. And Brad Stevens. You know, Brad Stevens is like that as well.
Yeah,
you know, Brad and Matt Painter are very close friends, have been for years. And so they actually had a little bit of fun with that when Mike was bouncing back between Brad and Matt on which staff he was going to be on. I can promise you there were no hard feelings there because, as I said, they're good friends. But, yeah, it's just kind of how things are done under Matt Painter, and it's how things are done under Brad Stevens, and Micah fits that mold perfectly. And, yeah, he's a family-first guy. And I will tell you this, I don't know how much research your local high school area basketball coaches have done, but Coach Shrewsbury has a hell of a talented 2023 son who plays a two-guard who, I don't know, again, I don't know what high school he'll end up when he moves end up at State College, but whoever gets him, this guy can play a little bit. Speaking of family, his son, his name is Braden. Yeah, so.
Now you have real estate people battling. Now you have real estate people battling. Go to Bellefonte. Go to Penns Valley. Go to state. Right. Now you got that going on, Rob. Way to go. Way to go.
I can only assume that recruiting is illegal at the high school level in Pennsylvania. But if it's not, let the bidding war begin because he's a hell of a player.
You've got North Texas in the opening round on Friday night at 7:30. And Mike is going to coaching. He's going to be on the sideline and coaching in the game. So give us a little preview of the matchup with North Texas. For the most of the fans around here, the only thing they know about North Texas is Joe Green played there.
Yeah, the old Mean Joe Green. And wouldn't you know it, their school nickname is the Mean Green, although mean they green. Claim that has nothing to do with Mean Joe Green.
Right. Yeah.
They really are. I know when you play a 13 and you're a 4, that you're supposed to say, well, it's a dangerous matchup because that's what you're supposed to say. But I'm telling you, Steve, this group's actually really pretty good. They have 6 seniors or redshirt seniors, which always makes you a little leery when you play big majors and right in a tournament level that have that type of experience, because these are guys that have been there, done that. And they also have a legitimate big guy, which, as you well know, you don't typically see at the mid-major level. They have a 6'10 player who is a senior, 1,000-point career scorer, 700 rebounds in his career, been starting since his freshman season. He's a legit 6'10 big guy, which, again, you rarely see at the mid-major level. So they can certainly give Purdue fits, again, with their experience and the fact they have actually a legitimate big guy that can play in the post. And they have the conference player of the year from in the backcourt, who's also a redshirt senior, who averages about 15 points a game. So they do have that going for them. The other thing they have going for them, Steve, is they're very good defensively. Top 15 in the country in points allowed. I think they only allow like 61 points a game, something like that. And they play a very slow pace. They have one of the slowest paces in college basketball. So they're not they're a very deliberate team, and they're a very patient team. And, again, that can give a ball club fits, obviously, in a tournament situation. So, these guys are legit, and I'm not just saying that because I'm supposed to. I'm just from what research I've done on them. They're pretty good.
You know what, Rob, though, but this is the part that I think a lot of people forget. North Texas won the Conference USA tournament. That's how they got in. Hey, they're winning right now. They're confident. They think they're pretty good. That's because they are. And I think people discount that sometimes when they look at it. You're a champion for a reason.
Right. And they were the third seed out of their division.
Yes.
They break it up into East-West, and they were the third seed in the West. So it's not like they were, the number one seed and they just roll over everyone. That was not the case at all. They got hot at the right time, literally, as a third seed coming out of the West Division to win the whole thing. So, yes, they are a confident group. And, again, when you have 6 seniors or redshirt seniors playing with confidence and you know you're the underdog, you know you have nothing to lose, all of a sudden you become an awfully dangerous ball club. And I'm afraid that's what they're going to be on Friday night.
Well, you know what? North Texas ought to be worried. Purdue's a pretty good basketball team. You guys are rock solid fundamentally. Jaden Ivey's a little different look than what North Texas has been seeing in Conference USA. All right. My friend, thank you so much. Enjoy Lucas Oil Stadium again. let's see what can happen with this. I think you guys are in pretty good shape first couple of rounds. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Steve. And I'm telling you, you're really going to enjoy Micah, his wife Molly, and their family. You guys are very fortunate to have him at Penn State. You're really going to enjoy him. I can promise you that.
No, cannot wait to work with him. I think he's going to be great for this program, and it's going to be great between Penn State and Purdue as the years go by.
I agree.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.